The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today, Katie Weaver and Andrew Smith tell us about a meat sickness more Americans are getting from tick bites. Gregory Stockel presents this week's Health and Lifestyle Report. Finally, we explore a national park that stretches across two American states. But first, this report. A Pakistani mountaineering official says a Norwegian woman and her Nepali Sherpa guide have completed the fastest climb of the world's 14 highest mountains. Kristen Harilla, age 37, and her guide Tenjin Sherpa, age 35, reached the top of the final mountain, K2, last Thursday. All the peaks the two climbers reached are above 8,000 meters, said Karar Hydri, the secretary of the Pakistan Alpine Club. A big congratulations to Kristen Harilla and Tenjin Sherpa on this remarkable achievement, said Hydri, adding, they did it in 92 days. The former record holder, Nirmal Pudra, a Nepali-born British citizen, climbed the 14 peaks in 189 days in 2019. Most mountain climbers spend years trying to climb the world's greatest peaks. Both climbers topped Shishapangma in the Tibet area of China on April 26th. They have since climbed Everest, Kanchenjunga, Lhotse, Makalu, Cho'oyu, Daulagiri, Manaslu, and Annapurna in Nepal before going to Pakistan, where they climbed Nanga Parbat, Gasherbrum 1, Gasherbrum 2, and the Broad Peak before climbing K2. The company Seven Summits Treks, SST, provided support for the climbers' efforts. Garrett Madison of the U.S.-based Madison Mountaineering Company is also on K2 leading a different group. He said the climbers used a window of good weather to go to the top of the mountain. They have made a summit a short while ago, Madison told Reuters, adding that the Norwegian woman was extremely tough mentally and physically. Harilla first attempted to break the record and climb all 14 top peaks in 2022. However, China restricted foreign climbers during the coronavirus pandemic, so Harilla was unable to attempt two of the 14 peaks. K2 has one of the deadliest records for mountaineers, with most deaths happening on the return down. Any wrong move can cause an avalanche or snowslide and kill. Only a few hundred climbers have successfully reached its summit. And one more climber made that list and set another record on Thursday, reported SST director Tashi Lakpa Sherpa. 17-year-old Nima Rinjin Sherpa became the youngest person to climb K2, Tashi said.
Mm.
more than 100,000 people in the United States have become allergic to red meat since 2010 in reaction to tick bites, the government reports. Medical researchers say they believe many more people have the allergy and do not know it. The National Centers for Disease Control and Prevention released two reports on the subject recently. Ticks are very small animals that feed on the blood of other animals. One report estimated that as many as 450,000 Americans have developed the meat allergy. That would make it the 10th most common food allergy in the U.S., said Dr. Scott Commons. The University of North Carolina researcher co-wrote both reports. Health officials said they do not know of any confirmed deaths. However, people with the allergy have described it as strange and terrifying. I never connected it with any food because it was hours after eating, said one patient, Bernadine Heller Greenman.
The reaction, called alpha-gal syndrome, happens when an infected person eats beef, pork, or other meat of mammals. Taking in other mammal products, such as milk, also causes the reaction. A sugar called alpha-gal exists in mammal meat and in the saliva of ticks. When the sugar enters the body through the skin, the body's own defense, or immune system, reacts too strongly. Scientists saw such reactions in patients taking a cancer drug that was made in mouse cells containing the alpha-gal sugar. But in 2011, researchers first reported that it could spread through tick bites, too. They tied it to the Lone Star tick. Scientists say the ticks live mainly in the eastern and southern U.S. One of the studies released recently examined test results from the main U.S. private laboratory looking for alpha-gal antibodies. Those tests showed the number of people who had the antibodies rose from about 13,000 in 2017 to 19,000 in 2022.
Experts say cases may have increased for several reasons. They say the Lone Star tick population is expanding. They also suggest more doctors might be learning about the disease and ordering tests for it. But many doctors are not. The second study was based on a survey last year of 1,500 U.S. general care doctors and health professionals. It found nearly half of them had never heard of alpha-gal syndrome, and only 5% said they felt very sure they could identify it. Researchers used that information to estimate the number of people with the allergy, 450,000. People with this condition can experience symptoms including hives, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, severe stomach pain, difficulty breathing, and swelling of the lips, throat, tongue, or eyes. Unlike some other food allergies, which happen soon after eating, these reactions hit hours later. Some patients have only stomach symptoms. The American Gastroenterological Association says people with unexplained diarrhea, nausea, and stomach pain should be tested for the syndrome. Doctors advise people with the allergy to stop eating meat and other foods that cause the reaction, and to have epinephrine available to them at all times. And doctors say, avoid tick bites. The allergy can go away in some people. Commons said he has seen that happen in about 15 to 20% of his patients. Staying free of tick bites is extremely important. The tick bites are central to this. They perpetuate the allergy, he said.
One of his patients is Heller Greenman, a 78-year-old art historian in New York. She spends summers on Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts. She said she is used to getting bitten by ticks on the island. She has had Lyme disease, also caused by tick bites, 4 times. About 5 years ago, Heller Greenman started experiencing terrible, itchy hives on her back, middle, and legs in the middle of the night. Her doctors decided it was an allergic reaction, but could not identify the cause. She never ate a lot of meat, but one day in January 2020, she had 2 beef meals in a row. 6 hours after eating the second, she woke up nauseated, then vomited, had diarrhea and a lack of balance, or dizziness. She passed out 3 times. Doctors identified alpha-gal syndrome as the cause soon after the incident. Heller Greenman was told to avoid ticks and to stop eating red meat and milk products. There have been no allergic reactions since. I have one grandchild that watches me like a hawk, she said, making sure she reads food labels and avoids foods that could cause a reaction. I feel very lucky, really, that this has worked out for me, she said. Not all doctors are knowledgeable about this. I'm Andrew Smith.
And I'm Katie Weaver.
In her latest gardening story, Jessica Damiano tells of the garden pests and diseases she has seen in her plants. The Associated Press writer suggests acting quickly when combating garden pests and diseases. When not dealt with quickly, pests and diseases can quickly grow and reproduce. That can result in less plant growth and worse health, less flower and fruit production, or even death of your plants. Her measure always begins with the gentlest treatment possible. She only intensifies her treatments when necessary. Even then, she has her limits. Damiano says she would rather lose a flower or vegetable plant than use strong chemicals. In the case of her tomato plants, Damiano caught the aphids, a pest, early. She washed them off and removed the ones that would not come off by using her fingers under moving water. They have not returned in the week since removing them, but she looks out for them every day, just in case. Had the invasion been severe or the water and finger removal method been ineffective, she would have used neem oil. The organic oil, which comes from the seeds of the neem tree, kills aphids by not permitting them to breathe. It is safe to use on plants that will be eaten, and it is not harmful to people, animals, and birds. Still, it should be used after the sun has set, when helpful insects are less active. The same day Damiano found the aphids, she found another pest called scarlet lily beetles on her Asiatic lily plants. The adult red insects feed on a grouping of plants called true lilies and fritillaries. In an earlier stage of life, called the larval stage, they cover themselves in waste. This makes them less appealing to those that would want to eat them. But the coating also protects them from chemicals, making them difficult to remove. The pests had already damaged some of her plants. To prevent more damage, she removed them by tapping them off of the plant into some water with soap and vinegar, or household cleaners. Her rhododendron, a flowering plant, were attacked by a pest called azalea bark scale last summer. She saw the white insects had come back this year. Some of the leaves were infested, so she cut them off. But because most of the leaves only had a few of the pests, she was able to remove them by touching each insect with some rubbing alcohol. By working early, Damiano slowed or stopped infestations that could have killed her plants. The same would be true for diseases, many of which also respond better to early treatments. I'm Gregory Stockel.
You just heard this week's Health and Lifestyle Report, presented by Gregory Stockel. Gregory is here now to talk more about the topic. Hi, Greg. Nice to talk with you.
Hi, Ashley. It is great to be back.
Today's story was about garden pests and plant diseases, and what gardeners can do to keep their plants healthy. Can you talk a bit more about how people can look out for early signs of common plant diseases?
Sure. Blossom end rot is a disorder of food-producing plants that is caused by the plant not having enough calcium. The first sign is a water-soaked area near the bottom of the fruit. As the affected area grows, it will sink and turn black or brown. That is just one disease, but it is important to look out for. You can save the crop by covering the entire plant with calcium spray.
One more question. In the story, the word pest describes an insect or other animal that damages crops. But a person can also be a pest. Can you tell us about that meaning of the word?
Of course. When a person is a pest, it means they are troublesome or bothersome. It can mean that the person annoys or irritates you. It is similar to how a pest is troublesome to a plant. No one wants to be called a pest.
All right. Thanks again, Gregory, for coming on today's show.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children.
It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. Today, we visit a national park that stretches across two southern U.S. states, Tennessee and North Carolina, and two mountain ranges, the Blue Ridge and the Appalachian. The area is known for its wildflowers, autumn colors, waterfalls, and black bears. It is also known for the blue-colored mist that hangs above mountain peaks and valleys. It looks like smoke and gave the area its name. Today, we are exploring the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. We are hardly alone on our journey. The Great Smoky Mountains National Park gets more visitors than any other.
Starting in the 1920s, local citizens began working to protect the land. Ann Davis moved to Knoxville, Tennessee in 1915. She soon came to love the Great Smoky Mountains. In 1923, Davis visited some of the national parks in the western United States. She proposed creation of a national park to protect the Smokies after she returned home. Ann Davis entered politics to help push the idea. In 1925, she became the first female from her county to serve in the Tennessee State House of Representatives. She proposed a bill to permit the purchase of more than 30,000 hectares of land from the Little River Lumber Company. That was the first huge purchase of land used to create the national park. In 1934, Tennessee and North Carolina gave the federal government more than 300,000 hectares of land for the park. The Great Smoky Mountains National Park was established on June 15, 1934. But the official dedication did not take place until 1940, when President Franklin Roosevelt spoke at a ceremony within the park. The ceremony took place at the Rockefeller Monument, on the border between the two states that provided the land. Roosevelt said that day, "It is good and right that we should conserve these mountain heights of the old frontier for the benefit of the American people."
Most years, around 9 million people visit the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. It is the largest area of protected land east of the Rocky Mountains, and it is one of the few national parks that is free to enter. The park has over 1,000 kilometers of trails, more than 110 kilometers of the world-famous Appalachian Trail cuts through the Smokies. So, you might share the trail with a hiker in the middle of a months-long walk from Georgia all the way north to Maine. Visitors also share the park with a large population of black bears. The park is one of the biggest protected areas in the eastern U.S. where wild black bears live. Black bears once roamed a huge part of North America, but the populations suffered because of habitat loss. Scientists say around 1,500 black bears live in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. Park officials work hard to protect them and warn visitors not to get close to bears or leave behind trash that would harm the bears.
Many visitors come to the park to view wildlife. One of the most popular places to do so is in an area called Cades Cove. Here, visitors can see white-tailed deer, the dog-like coyote, turkeys, and yes, black bears. Cades Cove is a valley. It has a long and rich history. The Cherokee Indians used to hunt there. The first European settlers arrived in the early 1800s. In the 1830s, around 270 people lived in Cades Cove. Today, many kinds of historic buildings and structures remain in the valley, including log houses, barns, churches, and a working mill. Cades Cove is also an excellent place to view wildflowers. The park is famous for its wildflower diversity. Within the park are more than 1,500 kinds of flowers, more than any other national park in the country. Another famous spot in the Great Smoky Mountains is Clingman's Dome. It is the highest point within the park. At the top of the 2,024-meter-tall mountain is an observation tower. It offers viewers a 360-degree view of the Smokies and surrounding areas.
Unfortunately, the park has faced air pollution problems. The pollution harms the views atop Clingman's Dome and other scenic spots in the park. The Cherokee Indians who lived in the area used to call these mountains Shakonajee, which means place of the blue smoke. Today, the blue-gray smoke that surrounds the mountains is no longer pure. Some of it is just air pollution. Most comes from electric power centers and cars. The pollution damages native plants and water streams. It also affects the views from the scenic overlooks. It can make the mountain colors appear less bright and beautiful. The National Park Service suggests that visitors by car consider using public transportation from the city of Gatlinburg, Tennessee. A trolley car takes visitors to many stops within the park. The millions of visitors to this beautiful part of America have a special responsibility to preserve the land that many worked so hard to protect. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Katie Weaver.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.